You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
If I punch you, you're going to turn the other cheek.
20 years ago, I would have knocked you back. But now I would create an environment where you would cease to feel hostility.
The elites of California have decided that we're going to have same-sex marriage, and what the people want can be damned.
You are asked now, perhaps by your creator, not on a question of gay or straight. You are asked now to stand on a question of love. Let the tiny ember of love meet its own fate.
All you need is love.
Since President-elect Obama says that his main thing was change, then it's time for him to have a change of heart for the little babies in America who are being aborted and they're dying.
Well, as Americans, we don't think of ourselves politically in terms of kings and kingdoms and rules and reigns and realms. But, of course, that's, at least as far as we're concerned, something of the past. And yet, as Christians, this is precisely how we do, and we are instructed by Scripture to think about God's work here on earth. It's called the kingdom of God. And yet, while it is God's work here on earth, Jesus is quite clear when he says, my kingdom is not of this earth. So how can God's kingdom come on earth and yet not be of this earth, or, for that matter, like any kingdom we've ever seen before? We're going to be talking about the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, usually read, Thy Kingdom Come. It's our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday, December the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MY-I-E, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. After our Pastor's Roundtable, hour two of the program, we'll talk about a new survey on the demographics of Prop 8, that is the gay marriage amendment. In California, some are saying that those who voted for it are uneducated. Is this true? Then a little bit later in the second hour, James White will join us. We'll talk about Islam. Is Islam best represented by Western Islam, peace-loving people, or Islam as we find it in the Islamic world? Osama bin Laden or CARE? Which is it? We'll be talking about Islam with James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, based in Phoenix. In the second hour of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Jim Remke joins us on the phone for our Pastor's Roundtable. He's pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Middleville, Michigan. Pastor Remke, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd. It's a real honor.
Joining us here in the studio, Pastor Michael Cumm. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois. I guess you could call him my other partner in crime. I've got Jeff as one partner in crime, along with Craig, but Pastor Cumm is my other partner in crime at Trinity Millstadt. Thanks for coming in, Pastor.
Good to be here, Todd. Thanks.
And also rounding off our round table here in the studio, Pastor Tim Ostermeyer, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in St. Anne, Missouri. Welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Pastor Cumm, when Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world, what is he telling us that his kingdom is? What is he telling us his kingdom isn't?
God is telling us that his kingdom is truly his, in his power, in his grace, in his mercy, in his glory, which are things not of the world. Things of the world would be things of a sinful nature, but God's kingdom is how he comes to us with His omnipotent power, His grace and mercy that are given to us, the glory that He reigns with over the angels and archangels in heaven. He is talking to us about coming to us in His Word, which indeed contains His grace and mercy, and is a means of His grace to us here on this earth, as well as His sacraments. So His kingdom is all the things of God, not things of the world.
Pastor Remke, your thoughts on this petition, when we ask for God's kingdom to come, and yet Jesus tells us that in some sense, this kingdom isn't of this world.
Well, what Pastor Cummins said is certainly true. It's not of this world. It's about God's holiness, His righteousness, His glory. And so when we think about God's kingdom coming, I think it's important to look at the very simple, straightforward explanation given by Martin Luther in his Small Catechism. The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. And that's where really, that's what we're really looking at here. We can't fully understand what God's kingdom is because we're in this world. I mean, we have a good idea from Scripture. We know what God would have us know about it. But I think the most important thing is looking at here, we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. And how does God's kingdom come to us? When we are presented with the holiness, the righteousness, the glory, the magnificence of God, the majesty of God, I think we have to look very clearly at, I think it's appropriate, we're talking about this with our readings for the second Sunday of Advent, focusing on St. John the Baptist's cry, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what our prayer, when we're praying this, we're praying in essence that God would make us repentant and contrite so that we can receive this kingdom. We have no other choice when presented with this majesty, this righteousness of God, but to repent, to be humble, to be humbled by His kingdom coming.
Pastor Ostermeyer, what does it look like when God's kingdom comes? I mean, what should we be looking for as an answer to this prayer, Thy kingdom come?
Well, what's interesting is that Jesus says, My kingdom's not of this world, and yet John the Baptist says, The kingdom of God is at hand, and Jesus quite often said, The kingdom of God is at hand. Well, which is it? Is it not of this world, or is it here? And I think we need to make a distinction that it's not of this world, but it has certainly come into this world. You know, we can see the power of God's kingdom, the kingdom of power in everything. After all, for crying out loud, He's God, and everything else are things that He made, that are created. So He rules over all of creation. That's called His kingdom of power. Every creature, the devil himself included, must succumb to the power and the rule of God Himself. He is the creator, as I said, for crying out loud, and everything else is created. There is no match for Him. There are no other gods that contend with Him. That's His kingdom of power over which He rules all things. And that rule takes place within law, laws of nature, the laws of God, all things that are subject to Him. When Jesus returns, the kingdom of power, the final judgment, the last day. Yeah, the wrath of God is found within the kingdom of power and rules over all of creation. But the kingdom that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, that kingdom of power is already here. What is this that we're calling for God to bring into our lives? It's the kingdom of grace. The kingdom of grace that was ushered in, as we just heard with John the Baptist, the announcement, the grace of God is among you. And that is the life of Jesus Christ, lived for you, given to you by the Holy Spirit, where He took your sins upon Himself to a cross. The grace of God, the gift of God is Jesus. And by faith in Him, we live in that kingdom of grace now while we're still in this world.
Pastor Cum, is there something you can point your parishioners to and say, this here is the kingdom of God coming, that the very thing that we pray for to come to us when we say, Thy kingdom come?
One of the more obvious things that maybe a lot of us overlook is the very fact that there's a pastor standing in front of the congregation preaching the word of God and delivering God's sacraments to them. The fact that workers have been called and set out into the harvest to expand God's kingdom here on this earth. The very fact that the church itself is seen in its visible form, in the form of congregations gathering around the word and sacraments, are things that we can point to and say, here is God's kingdom in this place at this time. And we sometimes look beyond that, and we're looking for something mystical and magical. Well, it's really not that mystical and magical. God has sent these things down here for us. Now, the one thing we could say is the Holy Spirit, we're praying also for God to come in His Holy Spirit to work within us to carry out the work of His kingdom on this world. But when we want to point to something visible and physical, look for your pastor to be in the pulpit, at the altar. Look for the missionaries to be out preaching and teaching and those types of things to expand the kingdom of God in this world.
Pastor Remke, we've got about a minute here before this break. Another passage where Jesus mentions the kingdom is, he says, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. He's speaking to his opponents there. What does he mean with only about a minute before we take our first break?
Well, quite simply, I mean, it's not about our work. Again, it's not us. It's what God is doing for us. The kingdom of God is not of this world. It's in this world. But since it's not of this world and we are in this world, we can't study it. We can't point our finger and say this, from this border to this border is the kingdom of God and no place else. We can't observe this. We can't study it. We can't find it by our own sinful means. We must look to God to show us His kingdom. And He does reveal that, as Pastor Combs said, through word and sacrament, through pastors faithfully preaching the word and giving out the sacraments.
Pastor Jim Remke is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Middleville, Michigan. He joins us by phone for our pastor's roundtable this Thursday, the 4th of December. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. Pastor Michael Kumm, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, and Pastor Tim Ostermeyer of Hope Lutheran Church in St. Anne, Missouri, are here in the studio. You can join us, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Everyone who calls or sends us an email this hour will receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lord's Prayer? 1-877-623-MY-IE. Have you been hungering for a richer life of prayer and meditation on God's Word? Well, Concordia Publishing House is pleased to bring you Treasury of Daily Prayer. It's coming in October. To experience Treasury of Daily Prayer, click the book cover on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can order an advance copy of Treasury of Daily Prayer by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. John Lang, Jim Frost, Eric Matsko, Victor Rodriguez, Rich Smith, Magdalena Olson, Kristen Weber, David Wilde, Nancy Ostermeyer, and Linda Reel. Thanks for your support.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. issuesetc.org.
I got the keys to the kingdom. The world can't do me no harm. I got the keys.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about Thy Kingdom Come, our Pastor's Roundtable. Pastor Jim Remke, Pastor Michael Come, and Pastor Tim Ostermeyer on this Thursday, the 4th of December. Feel free to join us. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email your questions or comments to us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Everybody who calls us or emails us this hour will get a free pamphlet called What About the Lord's Prayer? Okay, one other passage where people get confused about the kingdom of God that we need to clear away before we move on, and that is when Jesus says, along with the kingdom is not of this world, doesn't come with your careful observation. Then he says, the kingdom is in your midst, or the kingdom is within you. What is he talking about, Pastor Ostermeyer?
That's a great question, because he also said, if somebody comes and says, oh, the kingdom is here or the kingdom is there, don't believe them. And then he follows up saying, the kingdom is within you. And then you're really confused. You know, you ask, how can you see the kingdom in this world? Well, we can see baptism. We can see signs of the kingdom, pastors preaching repentance and absolving sins. But the kingdom of God is within you, because by grace through faith, you are sealed into the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as a result, he rules your heart. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ himself rules in your heart. There is where the kingdom is. There is where he has made you his own, for it is that faith that rules in your heart. Can anyone see your faith? No. No. Do they know if you're a believer or not? Can they tell your heart? Only Christ knows those who are his. Only Christ truly knows those that are his. Now, certainly by their fruits you shall know them, he said. But can you truly know? No, only Christ knows those whose hearts he is ruling. And that is where the kingdom of God exists within you, ruling your heart, ruling your mind, preserving you from the time of your baptism, from the time you first came to faith, preserving you in that life which is Jesus Christ as he rules over you and feeds you and keeps you alive through those words and those sacraments. That pastor who absolves your sins, that pastor that preaches and teaches God's word to you, the Lord's Supper that feeds that life. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Yeah, that Christ within you, that life of Christ, your faith is fed through word and sacrament. Those who live in the kingdom of grace, all living within this world that's ruled in God's kingdom of power, but you who are alive in that kingdom of grace by faith through Jesus who rules your heart.
Pastor Come, is it the church? Is that what we're talking about, the kingdom of God? Is it synonymous with what most people would recognize as the church?
People would recognize it as such. I mean, the average person out there, the average Christian would say that, okay, yeah, well, it's got to be the church. Well, it's more than the church. Of the world, in the world discussions here, but it goes beyond the church. It extends out beyond the church walls, particularly of a building, but even of a congregation. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of this world. I mean, it is without boundary. I think that God is omnipotent, God is omnipresent, his kingdom likewise is without boundary. So we can't just point at the church and say, that's it. I mean, the kingdom of God comes to all. Whether they ask for it or not, we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. But we pray that God's kingdom would be hastened among us as well. In other words, as we celebrated in the last of the church year, and we celebrate during this time of Advent, that we celebrate the hastening of the coming of the parousia of the second coming of Christ. So all of these things that cannot be seen as well as seen are all part of it. And I think we can't put any boundaries and say this is it, that isn't.
Pastor Remke, what kind of king is Jesus?
Well, if I may, just for a moment quickly, kind of piggyback on what Pastor Come said, I was listening to your episode with Dr. Gibbs on the Kingdom of Heaven from October 1st, and I highly commend that to your listeners to go back to your on-demand section. And he said, in regards to, is the kingdom of God the church, that the kingdom of God is kind of seen in the church, and that is the church as a result of the kingdom of God. And we see as a result, what we see in the church is Christ coming to us, Christ giving us life, giving us salvation, giving us forgiveness of sins, and therefore we see exactly what kind of king Jesus is. Jesus is a king who is merciful, who loves us, who desires to have a relationship with us, but not just on any terms. This Jesus isn't kind of the, I'll be your friend no matter what, or it's not kind of the popular idea of come as you are or all are welcome without any change. Jesus is certainly loving and merciful. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior and a wonderful king in that, but he does make a change. In his reigning, in his kingdom, he does work in us a change through those gifts of that kingdom, through his presence, through his spirit, through his word and sacraments. All of those things that are outside of us help to make the kingdom of God inside of us. They help to make that new creation.
Okay, so then what kind of king is Jesus?
He's merciful. He's loving. He's kind. He's a king who desires to make us new creatures, to have us with him for all eternity, so much so a king that is unlike any other king in that he died so we may live. He gave up everything and to the world seemed to be a terrible king, but all of this he did for us. He is a selfless king, a king who wants us to be his people.
So is it any coincidence, Pastor Cum, that the only time Jesus is really truly arrayed in some form or fashion as a king, presented to his people, declared to be king, even in a sarcastic way, is that his suffering, his trial, his crucifixion?
It's hurtful for those in the kingdom to see him portrayed in that manner at that time. But I would say that that's exactly when he was probably at the peak of his kingship, was suffering for us, and actually taking that debt of our sin upon himself and taking the power that it took to obedience to his Father to take the scourgings and the beatings and the pounding of the nails and suffering on the cross, dying, and then the true power of the kingdom being displayed in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, who is also our King, Jesus Christ. To have him or arrayed as such at that point, probably appropriate.
Pastor Ostermeyer, the kingdom is coming here and now. We've talked about that pretty carefully here so far. Through the preaching of God's word, and the administration of the sacraments that Christ has left for his church. But there's also a sense in which the kingdom is still coming. That is, the second coming. I think all of you have mentioned that. What's going to be different when Jesus shows up the second time, as opposed to when he showed up the first time, with regard to his kingdom and how he rules?
Well, the first time, we're getting ready in a couple of weeks here to celebrate the birth of Jesus. He came in humility. He came placing himself under the law. He came humble. And he came to setting aside all of his power, his state of humiliation. He's going to come back in his glory. The kingdom of glory now, we don't live in the kingdom of glory. We're in the kingdom of grace. Christians are in the midst of the kingdom of power within this world. But the kingdom of glory will be ushered in when Jesus comes back. But at the same time, it's going to be the end of the kingdom of grace, the grace period during which time the free forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ is offered to all of mankind through the gospel and through the sacraments. That will come to an end when Jesus returns because it's going to be judgment. The kingdom of power and the kingdom of glory will come at that time as he stands in judgment over all of mankind, separating the sheep from the goats, as we see in Matthew 25, some into eternal damnation, some into everlasting life. That everlasting life is his kingdom of glory, where he reigns now throughout all of his kingdoms, where the saints who have gone before us are in heaven awaiting that last day, the resurrection, and the new heavens and the new earth. That is the kingdom of glory that's yet to come. So when we pray in the petition in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, we're praying that his kingdom of grace come among us now, forgiving our sins, clothing us in righteousness, preparing us for the day of that judgment when he comes so that we can be found completely free of all sins because we've been clothed in his righteousness, prepared for that day, and then ushered into his kingdom of glory, eternal life with him in new heavens and new earth with resurrected bodies. And it may sound confusing, but it's not. The grace period, the amnesty that Jesus paid for at the cross is all of mankind's now, but it will come to an end when the judgment comes, except for those who are clothed and prepared for that judgment, who will enter that kingdom of glory.
Pastor Tim Ostermeyer, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in St. Ann, Missouri. We take another break. He joins us here in the studio for our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, December the 4th. We're talking about the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, along with Pastor Jim Remke on the phone of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Middleville, Michigan, and also here in studio, Pastor Michael Kumm of Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois. What kind of questions or comments do you have on the kingdom of God coming, having come, it will come? I was thinking also, as Pastor Ostermeyer was talking about that, it's a beautiful thing to think about the kingdom that is coming. I think about the sheep and the goats, where Jesus says to those sheep, "Come, thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." What will that kingdom be like? Is it a different kingdom than the one we live in right now? We'll answer those questions after this.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Earlier this week, I told you about doctors using a patient's own stem cells to help construct a new windpipe. Today, I've got another cool discovery. Scientists at Bristol University are now using a patient's own stem cells to make living bandages for common sports injuries. A tear in the meniscus cartilage of the knee affects tens of thousands. They can now use your own stem cells to coat a sponge-like scaffold made out of a compound naturally occurring in cartilage. After 2 weeks, the bandage is inserted into the tear and the two halves grow back together. I told you it was cool. Researchers are thrilled with the many new applications for adult stem cells and the rapid pace they're making progress. It's leaving unethical embryonic stem cell research in the dust.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc., Chris Spellbring, Catherine Wilde, Diane Harms, Norman Hogreffy, Pastor Larry Peters, Corey Wenzel, Neva Reeves, Ryan Clush, Gerald Fuchs, and Deborah Piper. Thanks for your support.
Back to Issues, Etc. 25 more minutes in our Pastor's Round Table talking about Thy Kingdom Come. Pastor Jim Remke, Pastor Michael Kumm, and Pastor Tim Ostermeyer are our guests. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email questions or comments to us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Everybody who emails or calls gets a free copy of the pamphlet, What About the Lord's Prayer? Okay, Pastor Remke, how is it built? Pastor Kumm mentioned a few minutes ago that the kingdom of God is extended into this world in a kind of somewhat visible way. But this is, I think, really the question of the day for the church nowadays. How is it built? A lot of people say it's built through clever marketing, publicity stunts, charismatic preachers, attractive buildings, well-appointed grounds, and perhaps a couple best-selling books.
Those are all certainly fine things to have. But when we think about the kingdom of God, how does it come? Again, back to Luther's small catechism, it certainly comes by itself without our prayer. That is to say, without our work, without our fine marketing, without our best-selling books, without our charismatic preaching, without any of this, as Christ said, if these were to be quiet, the stones themselves would sing out. Christ's kingdom comes through God's work. It's always, always, always about God's work when it comes to Christ's kingdom coming, to the kingdom of God coming. It's always God who's doing it. And it always strikes me as a little bit sad and really quite pathetic when you see churches who, in our town here, we've got a church that had a sign up not too long ago, do your best and let God do the rest. And I think that's what we look at and what we think about when we think of God's kingdom coming. We'll do our best. We'll reach out to the poor. We'll feed the needy. We'll do political activism. We'll have a beautiful building. We'll have everything just spit and polished. And God will fill in the gaps that we haven't accomplished. But what does the prayer say? Thy kingdom come. This isn't about us. This isn't about anything that we do. It's about us simply passively receiving His kingdom in repentance. And in contrition, receiving the gifts of His kingdom that He accomplishes through, again, word and sacrament. They come from Him. It's Him that's doing the work, and we are just simply praying, let it come to me. Let this work come to me. It's just as simple as that. It's God doing it.
Okay, so Pastor Cum, if you go to the church that where both you and I serve on a Sunday morning, thanks be to God, you'll see a sanctuary filled with people. It, quite frankly, and I've told you this privately before, we're running out of room.
We are.
All right. So let's just say for the sake of argument, I'm not going to try and get you in trouble with anybody, that the congregation said, we need a larger sanctuary. Let's take this property sitting next door and build a bigger place. If we've built a bigger church, have we built the kingdom any larger?
Building the church is not building the kingdom. And because, once again, it is us who are building the church. Building of the kingdom is that which the Lord has done through His work, as Pastor Remke has so correctly said, and just kind of echoing the words from Isaiah 55, my word will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word, part of His means of grace, comes to us, and it is through His word and the work of His Holy Spirit that builds the church. It is still His work. It is not us building the church because we build a bigger building to add more people to the congregation. The church may grow, but that church growing is not certainly any of my doing or your doing, the preachers in the church, but just delivering the Word of God. It is still God's work. It is not my work.
Is it a thing of numbers, Pastor Ostermeyer? When we say the kingdom expands, the kingdom is built, our first impulse is to think the numbers will increase. There will be more people here today than there were yesterday.
You know, let's make a distinction here between church and church. And you say, how can you make a distinction between the same thing? Because they're not the same thing. There is the invisible church and the visible church. We can build a building. We can gather a large group of people together. We can, in fact, we can build a very large building. We can bring in a great band and a lot of pyrotechnics and draw a huge crowd on Sunday morning and say, look at how large our church is. But is that the kingdom of grace? Is that the body of Christ? Well, it might be within it. We cannot see the church of Jesus Christ that is made up of all true believers, because once again, where does it exist? In the hearts that are ruled by Christ Himself by grace through faith in Him. So when we talk about expanding the church, we're not talking about visible numbers or the size of a building. We're talking about adding true believers to the body of Christ, and that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. as Pastor Coombe said a moment ago, my word does not return to me void without having accomplished what I set it out to do, said the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. And it's through the word of God that the Holy Spirit works to bring people to faith and add numbers to the capital C church, the body of Christ.
Okay, if it's not about seats in the pews, our other impulse when we talk about the kingdom growing is to think in terms of numbers on a balance sheet, either bigger budgets or better balanced budgets. And for some reason, we equate those with growth of the kingdom. Your thoughts there, Pastor Coombe?
Well, it's not about numbers. It's not about numbers of people. It's not about numbers of on a balance sheet or about whether the budget is being met or not being met. The issue here is the sowing of the good seed on fertile soil and accomplishing that, for which God has sent us and purposed us in this life, carrying out our vocations to the best of our ability as baptized children of God to share the word of God with other people. Again, it is His work. And it is not His work to balance the budget. It's not His work to put dollars and cents in a budget sheet, but to save souls. We as pastors, for example, we are sales orgers. We are caretakers of souls. We are not the ones that are going to save them, but we're there to take care of them. And that's what we do. God, through these, through His Word and the hearing of His Word and the receiving of His sacraments, will inspire His people. The people here on this earth will take care of the budgets and the balance sheets and those types of things to the best of their ability. But that's not the church, and that's not the work of the church. The work of the church is to be out there taking the Word of God to those who do not yet know Him, and also using it to then feed the sheep that are already there so they may be cared for and maintained in the process.
Pastor Remke, there's another passage again from Jesus where He talks about the kingdom of God suffering violence. I think He says from the time of nearly of Adam and Eve until now, He seems to make it sound as though the kingdom of God has never had a pleasant existence here in this fallen world. However it has found itself in this world, it has never actually been at home. It's actually been in some way found itself at odds with the world. What is Jesus talking about?
Well, just about any time Christ is talking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, it always seems to us to be a terribly pathetic, a terribly ineffectual, a terribly doomed kingdom, one that is bound to fail. Looking in the chapters right before Christ gives us the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of St. Matthew, we see the people who receive the kingdom of heaven. Who are these people? They're not powerful. They're not wonderful. They are doomed to fail. They're poor in spirit. They are persecuted. They are the least. So Christ's kingdom is not at home in this world, and it looks in this world like total foolishness. That's why it is very easy for us as Christians to say, I can do it a better way. I can come up with something better. God has given me these tools, and as the old, bionic man, we can make it better. We can rebuild it, make it stronger, make it better, make it more powerful. But God's kingdom is not in this world to make us healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's in this world to bring us close to the holiness of God. And when we come close to that holiness, to that righteousness, to that majesty, we have to realize, and we have to be shown just how sinful we indeed are. And the bright beams of the kingdom of God, unfortunately, point out and show all the more clearly our weaknesses, our frailties, and how the kingdom of God, when compared to the things of this earth, is so much more glorious. All we can see is, boy, this is awful around us. It's so awful in comparison to what Christ has done for us.
All right, He's taking me right exactly where I wanted everybody to be as we go on to this last segment, and that is talking about the kingdom of God under the cross, living in the shadow of the cross. There are these amazing statements by Jesus that are almost impossible to comprehend if you take them seriously. In the kingdom of God, the least is the greatest is the least. The first is the last is the first. And then he says, you know how it is among Gentile rulers. I mean, it's very easy to figure out how they rule their kingdoms. They lord it over their subjects. But not so among you, says Jesus. Whoever would be greatest among you must be last. So what does this look like? And why is it that, at least in its visible manifestation, most of the time in the Christian church, it is an awful lot like the Gentile rulers in their kingdoms. Rulers lording it over their alleged subjects. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Thy kingdom come is our subject. It's our pastor's roundtable this Thursday, December the 4th.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Stan Slonkowski, Lisa Freeman, Robert Waters, Beth Brandt, Kurt Weber, Lisa Ingram, Jeanette Clark, Al Dunajic, Shirley Dunajic, and Mark and Lisa Commuta. Thanks for your support.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues Etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon His Word firmly and faithfully. Issues Etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today, in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making an online gift today, issuesetc.org, and click Donate. You can also contribute by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support.
For you I'd wait till kingdom come, until my day.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in our pastor's roundtable. Pastor Jim Remke, Pastor Michael Kumm. Pastor Tim Ostermeyer, talking about thy kingdom come. Okay, Pastor Remke, I'm going to let you pick this up because you led us right there. These statements where Jesus talks about the kingdom being where the first is the last is the first, and then in particular where he says, you know what it's like among Gentile rulers. They lord it over their subjects, but not so with you. The greatest must be least. And I look around in the church that, you know, where I serve as a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it looks an awful lot like Gentile rulers lording it over their alleged subjects.
It does in my church too. And I have to pray every day that God would keep me as the pastor from being like a Gentile ruler, from trying to lord things over people. And it's funny that the cross of Christ has a very wonderful way of keeping us humble, of reminding us of the great sacrifice that has been made for us. And I think that's kind of what's pointing, what Christ is talking about. You think you're so wonderful. You think you're so great, you leaders of the church, you pastors, you elders, you presidents of the congregations in other churches and other times and places, you bishops. You think you're so wonderful. Look at the cross, and you'll know real quickly that your best work is nothing. You are the least in the kingdom of heaven. It's Christ's cross, ultimately, that points us to the way to the kingdom of heaven. It is the entrance to the kingdom of heaven. It is where we see God's kingdom, as Pastor Kumm said, from the cross, this is Christ, or maybe it was Pastor Ostermeyer, that Christ is reigning from the cross. This is the height of his reign. And to the world, it looks like the lowest point, the lowest possible point of the kingdom of God. But this is the scandal of the cross, and this is the wisdom of God, which is foolishness to us.
I want the other two of our pastors to respond to this as well. Start with you, Pastor Ostermeyer. What is wrong, or what's the danger, when those who lead the church, as who ought to be servants, begin to act like the Gentile rulers?
Well, they stop following Christ in that, that Christ came to serve, not to be served. His kingdom of grace that he's ushered in among us, his kingdom in the midst of this world, is not in the kingdom of power. The kingdom of power falling under the law is because we're self-centered, we're self-focused, we are lovers of self, we are idolaters because we put ourselves even ahead of God and his word. Where Christ came, sent by God the Father in what? Not self-centered interest, but centered on others. It's love. Love is never centered on itself. Love is never self-serving. Love is never self-seeking. And those who come and are called to work in the kingdom of grace, his church, are called to serve, not be served, to sacrifice of themselves, of their time, giving up of their talents, giving up of their money and their lives. As Christ gave up his for us, we are to give it up for others. Now, this turns the wisdom of this world on its ear, and that's precisely what Jesus said. He has turned. God has taken the wisdom of this world and reduced it to foolishness, and the foolishness of God is wisdom. But only those who are in his kingdom of grace already have the eyes of faith to see this and the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit to recognize it and the motivation and the power through the Holy Spirit to serve in this way. But our sinful nature still is there. As you say in your own church, you know, we've got those lording over one another. It's common for pastors to set themselves up as the king dog in the congregation and my way or the highway. That's the sinful nature. That is not following Christ. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Follow my example. Follow my suffering. Follow my sacrifice. That's how you're my disciples indeed. That's how you are my servants who also come to serve.
Pastor Cum, your thoughts there. What's the danger when leaders who ought to be serving the church begin to act like Gentile rulers?
You can't follow up from the front. And I think we can go back to Holy Scripture and take an example from Peter. When Peter pulled Jesus aside after Jesus telling him that he was going to have to go to the cross and die, and Peter says, "Now, Jesus, you know, that's really not going to happen to you." And Jesus' words were, "Get behind me, Satan." He put Peter right back into his place, and that's what needs to happen here. When we get too many of the pastors, the leaders of the church, that start saying, this is the way I think church should be, this is the way I think things need to be run here, they no longer become followers. They are trying to, or else at least from semantically, they're probably, it'd be easier to say, they are trying to follow from in front, and then they become a stumbling block to the word of God, to Christ himself. They get in the way. They become the rut in the road themselves and cause the church to stumble and fall and move away from the word of God. And I think that's what we see. When we see this business about ruling like Gentiles come about, we see the church start to take the wrong turn. It starts to wander down the wide path, the path to destruction rather than the narrow path of righteousness, because everyone tries to have their own way and lead in their own way when in reality they need to be following rather than leading.
Okay, Pastor Remke, with a few more minutes before we wrap up our conversation, you have mentioned that Christ is not only example here, but he is in fact the only king that the church, the people of God, the kingdom of God will ever have. And you said so beautifully what kind of a king he is. He's a king who lives for us, who dies for us, who rises again. The kingdom that is coming, where nothing but grace prevails, what should we look forward to, and is it already ours here in Christ Jesus?
Well, it is a taste of ours now in Christ Jesus. As we faithfully gather around those gifts of word and sacrament, we are indeed having a foretaste of the feast to come. We're having a little glimpse into that eternal heavenly kingdom as we come humbly receiving from Christ his body, his blood, his words of forgiveness, his words of calling us to repentance. We are seeing that in a small portion. And for the Christian, there's nothing more beautiful than having a taste of that heavenly kingdom now in the divine service. There's nothing more beautiful than for us to realize that this is preparation. This is a foretaste of the feast to come. This is what we have to look forward to. And it's not just a little bread and a little wine. It is Christ coming for us, Christ reigning over us, Christ ruling us gently and kindly, not as a Gentile Lord, but as our Good Shepherd who lords over us in love and patience and kindness.
Pastor Jim Ramke is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Middleville, Michigan. It's a pleasure to talk with you again. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd, and nice to talk with the other pastors here.
Pastor Michael Kumm is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois. Michael, thanks for being our guest. Thanks for coming in.
It's great always to be here.
You can hear Pastor Kumm's voice in those breaks. We've made him the voice of issues, et cetera. He does a very, very good job. Pastor Tim Ostermeyer of Hope Lutheran Church in St. Anne, Missouri, thanks for driving over today.
My pleasure, Todd.
Folks, if you appreciate these weekly pastor roundtables, consider making a year-end donation to Issues, etc. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make checks payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Mail them to LPR, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. The address again, LPR, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Tomorrow on the program, we'll respond to listener email. We'll pick our Issues Etc. blogs of the week, and we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week with you. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. I think Pastor Ramke said it well. We have no Gentile Lord ruling us in the kingdom of heaven. We have none other than Jesus Christ. He did not come to be served, but to serve. He says to his disciples there on the night when he was betrayed as he washes their feet, I am master, I am Lord, but I am among you as one who serves. This is how he is master, by serving us with his perfect life, death, and resurrection. And he continues to serve us with that saving life, death, and resurrection, even today in the church, through his word, through his sacraments. He is still among us as one who serves. He always will be the master and the Lord who serves us in mercy, in forgiveness, who humbles himself and washes our feet, serves us, takes our sin, bears it in his body at the cross, and forever before God stands between us and God's wrath, making appeal before God on the basis of his shed blood, serving us forever as our substitute. No Gentile Lord. And so in his kingdom, there should be no Gentile lords. They belong out there in the world. They belong out there in politics. They belong out there in business. In Christ's kingdom, only servants like Christ. When we come back, we'll talk with Randy Thomason about Prop 8 voters in California.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.